among the wildflowers. You belong in a... One of my favorite guests. I'd love to have him in the studio, Bill, and I know you do too.
Mm-hmm.
He is the chief horticulturist at the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. His name is Tony Fulmer, and thank you for coming up.
As always, it's a pleasure.
You bring gifts, Tony, which we've tried to tell other guests they should also do. Many of them don't listen, but you, sir, you always bring nice gifts.
Well, I just thought that I had heard that Wendy had a new baby in the house.
Yes.
And so we have a pet essentials department, so I just asked our pet department manager to put a baby gift together, baby bag. And so she did. And then ironically, Steve Dale was talking about teething rings, and there's a puppy teething ring in there.
And there's a paw cookie that I don't know if it's for me or the dog.
Just a bite. What's going to happen?
You try it first. It looks like an iced sugar cookie. It's beautiful. A paw print.
It'll probably take the tartar off if you have it.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? And no more fleas, Wendy. Just try it.
Oh, can't promise that.
All right. Well, I thank you so much. And you do have great little gifts for pets and for the garden over at the Chalet. And you brought Bill a lovely plant.
Very
I don't know
nice
what
plant
that is.
That is one of our early spring favorites. That's a hellebore, or it's also called Lenten Rose. And that is one of the first things to bloom. It will often be blooming in the snow and has evergreen foliage. Mm-hmm. It will do in partial shade or full shade and will bloom for about 6 or 7 weeks in the spring, which is kind of unheard of.
You were very kind. As I pointed out, my wife Terry is out of town this week. She's visiting my daughter in New York. And I said, I don't know how often do I water this.
That
and
was adorable.
You didn't laugh at me. I would have laughed, but it's every other day is the way to go, huh?
Right now, in a container that size, if you have it outside, as cool as it is, it's not going to dry out quickly.
Right.
So you'll be fine. You can make it till Monday.
I can make it till Monday.
Yeah.
All right. And this is something you can take right now and plant outside?
Absolutely.
It's time because it's cold still.
That would have spent, if that had been planted last fall, that would be blooming just like that out in your garden right now. It's the very first thing to bloom. They bloom. They can be in bloom in March.
Yeah.
And certainly into April, this is their prime season to bloom.
Oh.
So it snowed on them a couple of weeks ago. Didn't face them.
And my goal with it, Tony, is to grow limes. So that'll take a couple of weeks probably, right? I'll get limes.
You can have a lime tree.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I don't think you can here. You couldn't grow limes here, could you?
Oh, sure.
Yes.
You do it as a patio tree in the summer.
And then you bring
tropical,
it inside?
And then you bring it in. Sure.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Why don't you do that?
I'd love to grow limes.
And why do you need limes?
I'm not getting enough citrus.
He doesn't want to get scurvy.
Right.
I was going to say.
I'm scared of the scurvy.
Scared of the scurvy.
Well,
okay.
You go to the store, they're 10 cents. Who's got that kind of money?
Yeah, but then that's when they're in season. When they're not in season,
they go up to 30 cents.
That's still a lot. Making like a homemade margarita,
right?
You need a lot of limes.
I didn't know you could grow them here. I thought the climate was just too cold for them.
You can do all the citrus as a patio tropical, and then you bring it in. But you really almost need a conservatory or a Florida room because they like lots and lots and lots of sun over the winter.
I do not have. It's hard to believe, but I do not have a conservatory.
Okay.
Unless you go to my clue game, then I have one in my clue game. But didn't you tell me once, because I asked you about grapefruit, and you said you could grow grapefruit here, but it would destroy all the other plants in the area, I think you said, that they're a very selfish plant. Do you remember any of that?
I think he's...
No?
I'm a guest, so I can't say he's hallucinating.
Yes, you can.
No, you can say that. You can say that.
I
swore you told me that grapefruit would consume other plants around it. You didn't tell me that?
Creeping Charlie.
No,
that's it.
No.
Ivy would do that.
Creeping Charlie, but not, yeah.
Well,
not,
the police
not,
have rounded him up, thankfully.
But that would be your
dream.
He's
not a concern anymore. Oh, yeah, to have grapefruit, fresh grapefruit every day.
If it took over your whole yard, that
oh,
would
Oh, yeah.
But it's no.
Grapefruit
that's
as far as the eye can see.
Okay.
You're
adorable. Creeping Charlie and I could share one together.
Creepy Charlie.
Right.
It's your friend.
All right. So tell us where we are in the year as far as planting goes. What should people be doing right now?
Yeah, because it's too cold.
Well, the thing is, what we're going to see is that everything is going to be compressed. So the things that should have been in bloom earlier, a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that are just now starting to swell, I think we're going to see things. It's going to be this incredible spring where everything is blooming together. So instead of having a sequence of bloom, like the service berries, and then the red buds, and then the magnolias and the crabs, it's not going to be that way. I think everything is going to be compressed in a much tighter frame. But the soil temperature is coming up. I measured the soil temperature in Wilmette yesterday, and it's 49 degrees. So you can do all the annuals, the cold annuals, pansies, violas, stocks, the bulb flowers. Uh-huh. You can do all of those.
My hyacinth have come up a little bit.
Yeah. Ours are actually in bloom at the store. We planted 19,000 bulbs last fall around the perimeter of our store, so it's really pretty.
19,000?
The year before, for our 100th anniversary, we did 20,000 bulbs in that space.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing to have the sequence of bloom.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Huh. Mine started coming up, and then they stopped, it seemed, and then overnight, all of a sudden, it grew like 3 inches.
And if we have 2 or 3 days of 70-degree weather, everything is going to just really move.
And that's what's on par for this week, mm-hmm. right? Monday, yes. Tuesday, Wednesday are all, yes, supposed to be around, yeah, there.
But we have to get through this weekend, which is like 50 degrees tomorrow. Yeah.
My cornelian cherry tree has beautiful little yellow flowers on it.
Cornelian cherry dogwood. Latin name?
Woof woof. Okay. I don't know.
Do you know,
I have
Latin
no idea.
Name?
Of course,
sure,
he does.
Cornus mas.
That's very impressive,
no,
Tony. That's very impressive.
No mas, no makey. Yes, exactly.
Do you know all plants a Latin name, or is that, well, just one that you happen,
okay,
to remember?
Just very, very quickly, at University of Illinois, for our woody plant class,
yeah,
the practical final in December was 150 trees and shrubs.
Yeah.
You had a 6-inch branch sample, and you had, so there were no leaves on the deciduous things, you had 30 seconds to ID them with,
jeez,
the Latin name and the common name.
And
how'd
if
you
were wrong, they give you an electric shock?
I missed half a point.
Out of all those, you missed one half?
Yeah.
Tony.
Do you see why he's the chief horticulturist?
That's why.
But I had already been working in garden centers and gardening, so I
That's
knew a lot of plants.
That's still pretty impressive.
Before,
which one did you miss? How did you miss one?
Sassafras albidum.
No.
I put an
Tony,
extra
that's
S in there.
The easiest one.
I know.
Say, I'd like a sassafras right about now.
With some grapefruit.
Yes.
With a grapefruit
as
wedge.
A sidecar.
Exactly.
That's delicious. Wow.
We have to take a picture of your hellebore, also the Lenten rose. It is absolutely beautiful. And is this something you can plant in the yard now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're in full, nice, bloom.
My guess, Tony, would be partial shade, if not full shade, on a plant like this. Would I be correct?
As always, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Horticulturally, right on the money.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, speaking of dogs and flowers, there's a question that's coming in, and I'd like to know the answer to this, too. 224 has sent this in. I have little yellow spots on my lawn from the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a puppy that I'm trying to housebreak, so there are spots all over the place.
Okay.
And are there things you can do to make those spots go away?
Well, the easiest thing to do is just to go ahead and start leaching that as soon as you possibly can. So get out there with water and try
and get the hose out right after they use the bathroom.
If you
I'm
want to try
that.
Okay, then you're going to have little yellow spots.
All right. I'm good with that.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing, is just to go ahead and just leach those salts through, mm-hmm, the ammonia through, actually.
How come there aren't more yellow spots on your lawn from, like, say, rabbits or squirrels or deer?
Because they are, I assume, because the quantity of urine is so much less and it's so infrequent.
Oh, I guess that's right.
You know, as they're passing through, maybe they do today and maybe they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, good,
you're making
question.
Us hungry, Tony.
Great pre-lunch conversation, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. All right, Tony Fulmer is here, the Chief Horticulture Officer over at the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill, it's Wendy, it's Tony Fulmer, the Chief Horticultural Officer at Chalet Nursery. Don't arrest me if I don't water my plants.
I won't.
Okay, good.
I won't.
We have a bunch of questions, including Kurt, who has called us at 312-981-7200. Oops, my fault. Kurt?
Hello.
Hi, Kurt.
Yes,
you
how are you?
Good. You have a question for the Chief Horticultural Officer?
I do. So I actually live in Wilmette as well, and they did some street work like a couple of years ago and had to patch in sod on my boulevard, and now my yard looks like a crossword puzzle. You know, it's like strips of sod here, one color, and the grass is a different color here.
Right.
What
right.
can I do about that other than tearing everything out?
Well, the thing that you want to do is, have you fertilized yet for the year? Have you done your first application of fertilizer?
Unfortunately, I did.
Oh, no, that's not unfortunate. I guess the thing that I would say is, last fall, when the lawn was in active growth, did you see that patchiness? Was there a considerable difference between certain areas? Okay. So the thing is that you have Kentucky bluegrass sod, which will have a particular blade and a particular color of green. And then in our lawns that have been seeded in, and if you have fescues in there for partial shade or shade, you will have different colors and different looks. So the question is it bothering you that much? How does it look when it's been mowed? Because as I get older, I'm a lot more tolerant of differences in the lawn, and as long as it looks good when it's mowed, then I can live with that. How about you?
I'm not loving it, to
be honest. Okay. Then that's one of those things that you may have to look at at the very least, if you don't want to go all the way back and do a complete renovation where you kill the turf and start all over again. Then you might at least try it for a year and just try and overseed if it's in full sun with a really high grade mixture or blend of Kentucky bluegrasses and see how that works before you do a complete renovation. That's pretty drastic. I've done that and it's drastic.
And should I do that in the fall after I aerate?
That would be the seeding or sodding. You can do seeding now. But the very best time, if you're doing a major seeding, would be after you do your core aeration, and then between the 15th of August and the 15th of September is the very best time to do seeding.
Awesome. Thanks for your help. Bill and Wendy, you guys are the best.
Thank you, Kurt.
Kurt, good luck to you.
Tony, I would have answered the exact same way as you did.
So do you want to take the next one?
I can't.
Okay.
Here, Bill, try this one.
I'll try.
Okay, go for it, Bill.
All right.
My native perennials seem to be dormant and appear dead. Am I panicking too soon?
Yes.
Why?
Are you going to finish that one?
No, Tony, I think it's self-explanatory, but if you want to, you can, sure.
Well, since I came in, why don't
It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
What are your thoughts?
She is exactly correct. It would ordinarily not be too early, but we are so far behind on degree days, as we talked about earlier with everything being late. It is not to worry. The natives, have adapted over thousands and thousands of years.
The natives are restless, Tony.
The natives are not restless.
They're still
dormant and asleep, so they are not restless yet.
Okay.
And the other thing, too, is if you left a lot of the last year's stems and debris up, that is shading and acting as mulch a little bit, and that's insulating the soil from warming up even a little bit further. So if nothing else, if you want to get in and do your cleanup,
now's the time.
And as soon as the sun starts warming that soil, things are going to come really quickly. But don't panic yet. The natives are not dead.
A lot of people, including myself, leave all that excess stuff on the top, like my hydrangeas and sedum, because it looks good during the winter.
For winter interest, absolutely.
But it's been too cold for me to get out there and do it. But this weekend, it's time to do it, huh?
It's time to do it before those plants start growing. It becomes much more tedious.
Hi there. My 2-year-old five-star magnolia has not bloomed yet. At this point, will it bloom or wait until next year? Love, Chalet, and a regular customer. Thanks.
You should be able to go out there. You can look at those magnolias in September and October and look at each stem and know exactly where the blooms are because they bloom early. So there are big pointed buds on there. And you would expect that to be blooming very, very, very soon. So,
didn't you tell me to take your nail and kind of hit the stem and see if there's any green underneath, and then
as Bill would attest, I'm sure there is.
Oh, Bill told me that.
Yeah, I was the one. Yeah, but Tony, you concur.
I can elaborate again.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
If you ever have a question about something, you can always take your fingernail and just do a scrape test and just scrape the bark and get down to the heartwood. And if it's green, then you still have the potential for growth. But star magnolias typically would be flowered and the petals would be on the ground. And this year, I haven't seen many in bloom yet. So don't panic again. Don't panic yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Marianne has a question, but I don't know if you have the answer. Go ahead, Marianne. Tony Fulmer's here.
Bill will.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
last year, I spent a lot of money landscaping my yard with flowers and everything. And in came the rabbits, and all of my landscaping went to the rabbits.
Okay.
How can I deter rabbits, or are there any plants that would deter rabbit?
That's a great question.
We actually do have a list, but the chalet, we do have a list that I can get to you. But the
wait, a list of plants that will keep rabbits away?
No, a list of plants that are not
rabbit proof. Okay.
Well, when you're dealing with animals, you never say, just like your dog,
right.
You never say it's proof, it's 100%. But these are the things that over time have been, that would be the very last thing for them to go to.
Okay.
But you need to get started in the spring before the feeding starts, and you need to make sure they don't become conditioned to coming into your place to eat. And we have a new product, and I'm blanking on the name right now. I think it's one of the liquid fence products, but it's a new rabbit repellent, and it has the big difference is that you have to watch, because baby rabbits do not have a sense of smell. And so very often you can put on smell repellents on plants and they will just go right in and eat. So this new one has cinnamon oil in it, and it says for hard to control rabbits. So you want to get in early and start. It's in a trigger sprayer, and you want to get in early and start spraying those plants that have been problematic last year before the rabbits get conditioned to the place, you know, the fact that this is a great place to eat.
Mm-hmm. We are plagued by rabbits. Evidently you are too, Marianne.
Yeah, I'm in Bloomington, so there must be a long road of rabbits between Bloomington and Chicago.
Well, good luck to you. And cinnamon, that's interesting, because if you sprayed it on a plant, Bill would actually come towards it instead of be repelled by it.
With grapefruit wedges, probably.
Right. Exactly. Good luck to you, Marianne.
Tony, did you say liquid fence? What is liquid fence?
Liquid fence is a brand.
Yeah.
That is one of the brands of different repellents that we have, animal repellents.
And you just put that on your lawn or something, or on a plant?
No. There are many repellents are offered either as a liquid, which you spray right on the plant, or they are in a granular formulation that you make a band around the perimeter of the area that you want to protect.
That's a good thing.
Somebody has texted Irish Spring to keep
the
rabbits
soap?
And deer away.
Oh.
Have you heard of this?
Absolutely. Years ago, before there were really, really good deer repellents, in particular, that was for deer that you put it in a little whatever, and you hung it about every 4 to 6 feet.
Like
on
soap
shrubs.
On a rope?
Yep.
Wow.
Remember soap on a rope, the shower?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Irish Spring in particular was singled out as one that had something in it that would repel deer.
Really?
Yeah. But
and rabbits too?
That I haven't heard. I was heard as a deer repellent, but there are great commercial repellents now, much better than we had even 10 years ago.
Tony, we want to wish you a happy Arbor Day. We know this is a big holiday for you.
Absolutely. I'm celebrating all day. Absolutely.
And Tony and I will be performing scenes from same time next year at the Skokie Arts Festival tonight if people want to come by and watch that.
With a tree. We're going to be planting a tree first before the performance.
That's how it starts.
Exactly.
Go visit Shelley Nursery. You will see Tony Fulmer there. He's the Chief Horticulture Officer. It's at 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette. If you have pets, they have great little pet things, little gift items, and beautiful plants all over the place. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Great to see you.
My pleasure.
A quick break, then Wendy and I are headed toward the internet. The bonus hour is there, or you can stay here and listen to Steve with the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.